What's up, y'all? It's your girl Kenelia back for another episode of Black News, a podcast where we break down current events, hot topics, and local stories involving Black people. Now let's get into it. First things first, not a lot going on outside of the usual. I always mention I have shows, check my website. I will be in the Laughing Skull Comedy Festival. I brought that up for the past few weeks. That is still standing. Atlanta, Georgia. Next weekend, I will be there doing maybe 4 or 5 shows. Just hit me up, check the site, or keep a tab on my Instagram for more details. Continued conversation around supporting the podcast. Thank you as always. Also, another episode of the Flex Zone All In podcast is available on YouTube only. Remember earlier I was saying it's available on all platforms of podcasts we heard? Nope. It's only going to be on YouTube as of now. This current episode is an interview with Chris Spencer, writer, director, producer, actor, big in stand-up comedy in Hollywood. So check that out and let me know your thoughts. Outside of that, guys, this episode is probably going to be really short and sweet, but I'm really passionate about the topics. So with that said, let's get into it. The Woman King was phenomenal. Y'all, this movie was so good. This movie was gooder than a mug. I'm talking about summertime action, Gladiator meets Black Panther for women, melanin popping, people getting sliced up, knocked out. Y'all, this movie, emotional, action-packed, tears, acting. Y'all, it was, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. And before I even get into the meat of it, let me add, it currently got a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it also has a 99% audience score. Do y'all know a lot of movies, especially movies with Black people, don't ever get that high on Rotten Tomatoes? Not to say that's the premier site, but Rotten Tomatoes still holds up when it comes to reviewing movies. Okay. 99% audience score. Listen, now, spoiler alert. If you have not seen The Woman King, I'm not necessarily going to talk about, get to super in depth with storylines, but I'm going to talk about the overall themes of the movie, what I felt about it, and some additional content and context. So if you don't want to hear none of that, I feel you. But if you ain't seen the movie, you need to hurry up and go see it and then come back and listen to the Black News podcast, because y'all, baby, when I tell you this movie was so good. Okay, first, it stars Viola Davis, John Boyega, Sheila Ateem, Lashana Lynch, Thuso Badu. Wait, no, y'all be butchering her last name. Let me get it right. Thuso Mbedu. And it was directed by Gina Prince Bythewood. Love and Basketball, Gina. Old Guard Gina, Disappearing Acts Gina, our Gina Prince Bythewood. Now, Viola Davis be acting. You understand me? Viola Davis be acting. This movie could have easily been just another one of them hyper action focused flicks with some people getting beat up and chopped up, and it could have easily been that. But you're not about to have Viola Davis in no movie and not get some full Viola Davis moments. I'm talking about this woman be acting. And sometimes when we watch movies with stars and we've seen them in so many different things, we only see them as themselves, not the character. I did not see Viola Davis in this role. I only saw her character. And y'all know how y'all be saying with Denzel, we mean every movie is Denzel. This movie, I literally was looking at Viola like she was that lady, that warrior. Now, let's get into who those warriors in particular are. This movie is about the Agoge tribe, Well, they're not a tribe. They are the Agoge, but they are a female warrior military that protected the West African kingdom of Dahomey from the 17th to the 19th century. This movie in particular was set in the 1820s. Now, again, if you have not watched this movie, you don't have to listen to this. I'm not really going to spoil it, but we're going to talk about it. When the movie starts, it's basically at a turning point for them in the Dahomey tribe, where they're deciding if they want to stay in or get out the slave trade business. Now, people who may or may not know about this backstory, the Dahomey tribe was one of the tribes in Africa that participated within the transatlantic slave trade. Now, let me add this, because a lot of the backlash on social media, people be like, I ain't watching this. They sold black people to other black people. This movie isn't completely accurate. It is a fictional telling of situations that happen. But one thing that is for certain, many different tribes in Africa participated to an extent in the transatlantic slave trade over the span of 3 centuries. Let's not act like this is the only tribe that participated, and let's not act like we know all of the reasons why, or we are going to ignore all of the nuances. There were slave castles and ports up and down the coast of Africa that transported slaves, or let me not even say slaves, enslaved Africans to the Americas and the Caribbean. In order for the slave trade to be successful, Africans had to help the white colonizers in order to get that done. You got to remember, especially in the early years, a lot of Africans, especially on the interiors, have never seen white people. The first time they saw white people were when those white people colonizers came to the continent for the particular purpose of exporting African bodies to the Americas and the Caribbean. So in order for Africans on a consistent basis to be pulled from the interiors of the entire continent of Africa, many different tribes had to play a part to some extent. So when we see comments like, we should boycott the movie because they saw Africans, blah, 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 blah. A lot of them did. So we're going to boycott all stories based on the continent during those time periods. Does that mean that we're not going to tell or acknowledge any of these stories? Also, I really want to really quickly touch on the nuances of the transatlantic slave trade. Because if y'all don't know, I go down rabbit holes, and I've been down extensive rabbit holes as it relates to slavery, the start of it, how it relates to slavery on the continent versus in the Americas, the difference between Caribbean and the Americas, Brazil, all of that. But let me throw this out there. A lot of times things aren't as cut and dry. Stuff ain't black and white. Within Africa, it was known, and Africans who are telling the story in history have said this, they oftentimes did not see other black people as black people because all of them were black. They identified and categorized themselves as other tribes. So to them, if you ain't in my tribe, you are against me. So it was common practice for other Africans to be taken as prisoners of war and used as slaves. Now, in this sense, those slaves were still able to have families, get married. They weren't completely cut off, in some cases, from their actual ancestral heritage. They were still able to live their lives to some extent. Their names weren't taken away from them. They weren't brutalized and treated like animals. It was not the same as chattel slavery. So when white colonizers came over and asked or suggested that they trade goods for Africans, why would an African who ain't never seen no white people, who don't know nothing about the transatlantic slave trade, especially during those beginning years, why would they be like, nope, because you're going to send them over and strip them of their name and their heritage, and you're going to whoop them and work them to death? They would not have known that because it did not exist in that form at the time. So in some cases, yes, They were selling and giving Africans away to white colonizers for the purpose of enslavement, but they did not know what that was going to be used as. They did not know what they were actually doing in terms of scope and brutality. Now, over time, did they figure it out? Sure. But I think we like to put time in those days in reference to how time works now. Wasn't no cell phone, wasn't no email. You couldn't call nobody and be like, yo, let me tell you what they doing over here in the States. There wasn't any of that. It probably took decades, even maybe centuries for them to really realize what was happening. And by that time, guess what? You in too deep. I've read multiple stories about how certain tribes were participants in the transatlantic slave trade. And by the time they figured out what was happening and tried to get out of it with said Europeans and other African tribes who were participants, the option was you either participate, you're not going to stop this vast amount of money we got coming in, or your people going to be slaves now. That's the choice. It wasn't something as simple as, you know, we don't want to do this no more. Goodbye. No, it was you either do it or you going to America. There are multiple documented stories where people flipped and decided they didn't want to do it anymore. And now they were taken captive and now they were sent over. There are even stories of people who did go along with it. Their people still were taken and sent over to the Americas. So I need us to stop this magical and this romanticized idea that slavery was just as cut and dry, where you sold people and that was it. You had the choice to get in and get out. Also read another story real quick. A chief within his tribe was one of those people who decided, you know what, I don't want to be a part of this no more. They chopped his head off, put it on a stake, set it at the front entrance of the actual village that they lived in. And then they ended up selling his family and the rest of the people in the village. So what are you going to do in that case? Okay, I digress. Going back to the Woman King. The continent at the time was very complicated. But what this story did, it zeroed in on particular stories that were set during these particular incidents. And again, it was at the turning point where the particular king, played by John Boyega, was deciding if he was going to stay in the slave trade or not. So what I loved about this movie is that throughout all of that, with the underlying context, with the overarching context of all of the backdrop that was actually happening during that time in the movie, and us thinking about it because some of us know our history and read books, you had a story about a woman who was tasked with leading this strong group of women. You had these other supporting characters who were tasked with the same thing in different ways and went about it with their own personalities. They had their own internal struggles. They had their own internal wants and desires. You had an element of a theme of again, family, whether that's your chosen family or whether that's your blood family. You had themes of strength, fighting for what you believe in, equality, all of these things packed in one with some good ass acting, some drama, some emotion. And you had all of these women who trained for these roles for months and they're actually doing stunts and kicking people ass. Y'all, Viola Davis is like 54, maybe 56. When I tell y'all Viola Davis was getting it, this was so phenomenal to me. This movie was so phenomenal. It has so much heart. I cried multiple times. I strongly suggest that you all go see this movie. Yes, because it was good, but it was starring a cast full of black women, and y'all already know how they do. If a movie with black women don't do well, they try to act like no movie with black women will ever do well, and it's very difficult to get stuff made. We also need to support, because of all of the chatter that I really feel like is off base, people complaining about the storyline, people complaining about the Dahomey tribe, people complaining about a white writer wrote the script, people exclaiming that they're all white producing team. Y'all, Viola Davis's production team produced this movie. There may have been others, but Juve put this in theaters. Let's not get it twisted. And the reality, movies with this type of budget, most likely will not have an all-black team behind the scenes. I know that's what we want, and that's what we're pushing for. But if it means have a movie with an all-black cast, no white savior in it, because there was no white savior, and if it was, y'all would have been cutting up. And I don't mean y'all, the Black News listeners, y'all know what I mean. It had a black director, the black production company, and okay, yes, yeah, a white writer, and then some other white people behind the scenes. So what? Y'all, so what? Who cares? Do y'all know how hard it is to have an entirely black production team behind the scenes? Do y'all know Ryan Coogler be having white cinematographers? Do y'all know that? Nope. Don't nobody say nothing, because it's Ryan Coogler. And I, listen, no disrespect, I love me some Ryan Coogler, but it's real interesting how y'all pick at certain demographics and don't pick at the others. Because if this movie was about all black men, would y'all be still calling for a boycott? Or is it just because y'all, is it all women? I'll let y'all have that conversation within and amongst yourselves. And again, not the Black News listeners, it's for the Ashies. With that said, go see this movie. Go see this movie. Go see this movie. It was so good, y'all. If you saw, let me know your thoughts. Hit me up on social media. We can chat about it. And even if you have some opposing opinions, maybe you are one of the people that's like, we shouldn't support it because of what they did. I'm open to debate. Y'all know I love me some debates. Hit me up, because I'm open and I'm ready for it. I'm at Kenelia on social media. There was some additional backlash in regards to The Woman King, not necessarily related to the movie, but one of the cast members, John Boyega. It seems and it appears that on the press run, he mentioned that his dating preferences in regards to only wanting black women had people in their feelings, child. People was mad. And by people, you know, wasn't me and it wasn't us. So while John Boyega was on his run for The Woman King, the movie we just talked about that I recommend that you all go see at the theaters again, because I'm going to go see it again this weekend. He mentioned in an interview with British GQ and while on The Breakfast Club how he prefers to only date black women. Now, John Boyega is from the UK, but he is of African descent. The way he talks and the things that he has said, he got a black family. They a proud black family. He like being black. He ain't about nothing else. He has been vocal about the lives of black people and the rights of black people. He has been an advocate in support of black women. So anybody that was shocked by this was clearly living under a rock. But one of his quotes, this is the one from British GQ. I only date black. Then it's about chemistry, personality, goals. Is there synergy? Can I help you? Can you help me? And then on The Breakfast Club, he reiterated those comments, saying something to the effect of that it's easier for him to be with a black woman because of similar backgrounds, realities, and understandings of nonverbal and social cues. That sounds like common sense to me, right? You want to date somebody that you're familiar with. You want to date someone who understands you, your background, things that you experience, and you want to be able to provide the same for someone else. That sounds like a happy home to me. You want to be able to have conversations with somebody and they immediately understand what you're saying, maybe not by doing something as simple as giving a look. That sounds fantastic in my opinion. He made these statements and people got pissed. It appears that the non-black demographic really took offense to this. And while I know why, I was really trying to unpack why that bothered people so much, because everybody has preferences. The tall, dark, and handsome preference, and I like blondes and brunettes, that has been around since the beginning of time. When they say that, they're talking about white people. So you can say you prefer a white person using coded language, but when John Boyega, a black man, say he wanted to date another black woman, you mad? Why? He a black man. What would you expect? So just a few ideas, okay? Because we just kicking around ideas. Maybe it's because white women aren't used to being publicly rejected. Now, while he didn't bash or say, I'm fool with white women, they may have taken that as him publicly shutting them out, which is not something that white women are used to, or white men. Him saying he only want to date us, to them, maybe it means that he doesn't want them, and it does, But that's how they took it and that's how they fell. And that was too much for them to handle at the time. Because if a society has been built on a certain ideal and certain standard, and then one of a superstar outright said he don't want you, when the stereotype is that when you get on, you leave black women for a white girl, rich black men want white women, that's probably too shocking. It's probably a shock to the system. And again, I'm just throwing out ideas. Also, I was reading an article, and this was a good quote or summation that I wanted to bring to y'all. It says, the Boyega discourse is a direct reflection of how people perceive black women and femmes. It signals that black women shouldn't believe we deserve love, and rather, we should be grateful to even be in a romantic dating pool, despite being regulated to the bottom of the racist, misogynistic structures that be. So, it could be the backlash because we should be thankful. And how dare, what do you mean you would rather date somebody on the bottom over us? What? Outcry. I actually thought the comments were entertaining. It's really nice to hear black men stick up for us. And I'm not one of them people that be like, oh, black men like white women. I don't care who you date. The only time I step in is when you try to disrespect us to justify why you dating other people. Because at the end of the day, usually the men who be talking loud, we ain't want you anyway. They don't be attractive. I'm just speaking from experience. And a lot of times, a lot of men, or some men, I say rather, are it's just a trauma response based on how they actually feel about the black women in their lives and the experiences that they have had. Because personally, the men that I know who are black that only date white women, it's because they hate their mothers. They either outright hate them, they resent them, or they think because of their mother and maybe her appearance, they don't deem black women as attractive because your first love is your mother and your father. And if your first love wasn't really attractive or desired, you don't know what it looks like to desire a black woman because ain't nobody ever desired your mother. So in your mind, that has shaped what can be deemed as desirable. And in your case, it ain't that. So you shift to the opposite. Again, that's just my personal research. Because if I know 10 black men who don't date black women, I'm willing to bet 8 of them got a mommy problem. We can revisit that later. But what did y'all think about John Boyega's comments? Hit me up. Let me know your thoughts about it. I'm open to the discussion and your feedback. I'm at Kanelia on social media. Let's get into honorable mention. For honorable mention, quick shout out to Usher's My Way album turning 25 years old this year. Talk about feeling elderly. I mean, y'all, come on. I had the My Way album in my Saturn. My first car was a four-door Saturn, navy blue, had a sunroof, and my daddy put a 5 or 6 disc CD changer in the back for my birthday. My Way, and it's dating myself, y'all know I'm older, okay? My Way was on heavy rotation in the early years of that Saturn, because Confessions didn't come out until maybe 3 years later. And this was back when you could work an album for 3 years. He worked that My Way album for 3 years. And I'm in pause. 8701 was after My Way. 8701 didn't come until around 99, 2000-ish. Maybe later. But My Way is 25 years old. So in honor of that and this huge accolade, what was y'all's favorite songs off the album? Some of the most memorable: You Make Me Wanna, Leave the One I'm With, Start a New Relationship With You, This Is What You Do. Okay, that was the jam, y'all. Say, you gotta say it just like that too. You Make Me Wanna, Leave the One I'm With, Start a New. Anyway, that was one of the biggest hits. Nice and Slow, They Call Me U-S-H-E-R-R-M. They call me U.S. I really got to think about this now. They call me U-S-H-E-R-R-A YMOND. Another one, self-titled, My Way. And he had a duet with Monica, Slow Jam. So this album had hits. It had hits. It was a good time. This was the first album that kind of showed he was growing up. Because before that, we didn't really listen to that other one when he was a little kid. A lot of people don't even know it exists. They think My Way is the first one, but it wasn't. But in honor of that, which one is your favorite? I'm going to say My Way was my favorite. Then followed by You Make Me Wanna. And then the others. What did you think? And which Usher album overall is your favorite? Of course, I'm going to say Confessions. But y'all, Here I Stand got some hits. Raymond versus Raymond. Y'all know I love me some Usher. So in honor of Usher overall and the 25th anniversary of this album, I would love to hear your thoughts about it. Hit me up and let me know. To recap this week's episode, we had a very passionate discussion about The Woman King, why I think you should see it, and why if you boycott, you need to shut your ass up or read some books about Black history. Next, we discussed John Boyega and the backlash that he received for speaking up and stating his dating preferences in regards to only dating and preferring Black women. Then we gave a quick shout out to Usher and the 25th anniversary of his studio album, My Way. With that said, hope you guys have fun with this week's topics, and I'll see you back here next time, next week. That's it for this week's episode of Black News, y'all. Thanks again. Thank you. And thank you again so much for sticking with us, supporting the podcast, liking and subscribing on all apps where podcasts can be heard, rating 5 stars, and leaving a comment. It helps more than you know, so I really, really appreciate it. And keep sharing Black News with all of your friends and family. Be sure to hit me up on social media if you got ideas for topics. Or just hit me up in general to let me know you've been listening. Let me know your thoughts. I'm at Kenelia on all platforms across the board. That's at Kenelia, like Kenny and Ophelia. Also, check my website. I got some shows coming up in Los Angeles County. Hopefully get on the road soon. But for now, if you're in the LA area, hit me up. Check Kenelia.com for show dates and details. And as always, thanks again so much, guys. I hope you have a fantastic week. Keep supporting, keep growing, keep building, keep staying safe, and keep staying healthy. As always, again, I'll see you back here next time, same time, same place. Bye.